You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
We've never met before. My name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. And as always, it's a great day to be together. If you're new to the Vineyard, one of the best ways that you can get connected is by grabbing the blue card that will be found in the seat right in front of you. If you follow the prompts on that card, there'll be a small text exchange, and that will just be a great way for you to introduce yourself to our staff and for our staff to introduce ourselves to you. And by filling out that card and following those prompts, we'd love to make a $5 donation to a nonprofit charity that we're already connected with in our city. One that you will get to choose, and we'll do that on your behalf. As always, I want to draw your attention to votrweekly.org as well. This is a website that will function a lot like an app, and it will tell you everything that's happening here at the Vineyard. You can find our sermon notes there, the songs we sing, all the events that are taking place at the Vineyard. That's kind of your one-stop shop. For instance, we just had an amazing spiritual boot camp, something that we do once a month with Caleb Maskell from Vineyard USA. I heard from many of you that was a great time with him. And I also want to let you know that next month's boot camp, I'm letting you know ahead of time, is a marriage conference, Friday night, Saturday morning. We would love for you to register for that because we want to invest in your marriage this year. It's one of our top goals. And you know, I just want to say, like, to all of you who give generously and give consistently, it's because of your tithes and offerings that we're able to do things like all the ministries that are taking place in our church. And so thank you for the way that you give. Thank you for keeping the ministry healthy and growing and alive here at the Vineyard. It's making an incredible impact in and around our community. Well, today is it's a special Sunday at our church. There's gonna be a few unique things that are happening throughout our time together. And it's special because we're gonna put an extra emphasis this Sunday on what our church is doing missionally, globally, and through one of our biggest partners, Convoy of Hope. Today is all about God's heart for the hurting and poor. It's called our One Day Sunday because this is the time of year where we invite everyone in our church to give one day's wage, whatever you would make in one day's wage as you go about your life, to pick a day in the coming weeks to work for the poor, and whatever you would earn in one day to come with an extra special offering. And then we combine all of those gifts and we give a giant check to our friends in Convoy of Hope so that we can join them in the fight against global hunger. I'll talk a little bit more about how you can make that gift in a bit, but today is going to be a lot of fun. We've got a few videos to show you on ways that you can learn more about Convoy of Hope. You'll hear from our friend, Pastor Dixon in Zimbabwe as well. We have Brian McLeese with us, who's a board member at our church. He's going to share, and he's such an incredible gift to our church and to my life personally, but he also works for Convoy of Hope, and so he'll share. We're, of course, going to open the Bible together as well so that we can learn about what God has to say about wisdom and how it's connected to generosity. And if you haven't noticed already, let me just draw your attention to this pot that's sitting next to me. There is real hot water in there. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I turned the stove on before I walked up. It's starting to boil. And so I have props we're going to cook up here on stage while I preach this morning. And you can just say a quick prayer right now because usually the pasta boils over at my house. So what could go wrong? What could go wrong this morning? The problem is I get to talking with my kids and hanging out, and then I forget that I actually like turn the heat on high and it boils over. So I have a suspicion that I might forget about this today. So if you see something bad happening, just wave your hand at me. Because my wife would tell you I'm not the greatest multitasker, and so I may need, what could go wrong? Really, what could go wrong? No, I'm very excited about this because I reached out to our friends at Convoy and I said, can we buy some of the food that we serve every day in Zimbabwe? Can we buy some of the food from you so that we can serve it in church together so that you can get a literal taste of what happens every single day through our partners in Convoy of Hope? And they were gracious to send some food our way. So I'm going to preach and cook all at the same time, and I might do both of them poorly. We'll just have to wait and see. But before we start everything, I do want you to know that if this is your first time at church or first time in church for a while, that you're going to hear a lot about God's heart for the poor today. And you're going to hear a lot about how you can be involved. But I also want you to know that in a room this size and surely people tuning in online, there may be some folks here that have never started a relationship with Jesus. And this is just your first time in or around a church or maybe hearing the message of Christ. And I just want you to know if throughout the course of this morning, as you hear the heart of God and as you hear his heart for the hungry and the poor globally as well as locally, if something begins to stir in your heart and you realize, I've never made a decision, I've never made a commitment to follow God, we're gonna help you do that later in our service today. And we always, every Sunday we gather, we invite people to make first time commitments to follow Jesus. And it's no different even though we have some special elements this morning. So we're going to start by sharing a story with you from a young boy named Joseph. And Joseph is from Zambia. His story includes both struggle and hope. But as you watch, my prayer is that you will begin to experience how your generosity gets put to work day in and day out through our partners at Convoy of Hope. Our church, among many other churches, are writing hundreds of stories just like Joseph's. And so let's watch this together, and then shortly after that, Brian will come up to share a little bit as well.
When we're playing football, we'll just start playing, we'll play a little while, then we'll tell them, let's rest. Nowadays, I get tired pretty quickly. I live with my mom, auntie and uncle, and my two sisters. We don't eat sometimes in the morning. I would find I'm going to school without anything to eat. Reading would be hard. Thinking about eating, it hurts pretty bad. I was even asking myself in my mind, like, why are we staying this way? Why are we eating this? I feel sorry for my mom trying to find food for us. It makes me feel like wanting to grow up pretty fast so that I can help my mom. Yeah.
I was married with my husband. We used to live a happy life. But after we had kids, he started misbehaving, beating me, beating the kids. My husband said that if you can't manage keeping these kids, just throw them or take them to orphanage.
My mom said that we can't be living with a person like that. He's not doing anything. My mom would have to be the one who's struggling to find money for us to eat, to find shelter, clothes, school. Most of the times, if I think about it, just makes me feel something else in my mind, pretty angry. All I know is that I'll concentrate on school, then when I grow up, I'll just be the opposite of him.
I can't lie, I'm not managing enough for the kids because, you know, I need to pay the rentals, I need to look after some groceries, but I can't manage.
We found out that every time we come to school, we would get some food. We wouldn't even want to stop going to school because we know at school, we are going to find food, we are going to eat, we are going to be healthy. The food is very delicious because I even thank the people who are cooking it. If it wasn't for their cooking or what we eat, I wouldn't be even healthier. Yeah, my studies have gotten better. I know if I do concentrate on school, I will help my mom.
I need them to finish their education, have a better job, and have a good life. Yeah, it's giving me hope. I don't want my kids to pass through what I'm passing through, but I'm proud of them. I'm telling you, I'm proud of them.
I want to be a businessman. Yeah, working in a company, all that, and owning my own company. Building a house for my mom, helping everyone. Yeah, like you are helping us, I also pray to help others as well, following your footsteps.
Good morning. As Jeff said, you're helping write stories like Joseph's thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands times over by joining hands with churches all across this country. I get to hear stories in the assignment God's given me that remind me of the worship song we sang, God of our mothers and fathers. You know, come be our God. Let the Spirit of God do in us what you did in my parents. I'm here. Many of you knew my parents because of their example and the wisdom I saw in setting aside a tithe. And I know you're working towards that. This is over and above the tithe. I saw growing up the wisdom of making that choice. And I know many of you in the room didn't have mothers and fathers who taught you those kind of principles. But what an example Joseph's mom is to him. And the difference you're making in the generation that you're raising will become a part of the solution. And you see, all over the world, we're not just giving out food. We're sharing the bread of life. We're not just giving out water. We're sharing living water with 639,000 kids each day. You help do that. Would you give yourself a hand this morning? Each of those kids is part of a program where there's not just a nutritional director who goes through the science of what to put in the food to make it healthy and nutritious. There's a spiritual formation director that's training them in the way of Jesus. That's why it's wise to invest that way. We have a goal of reaching a million children by 2030. And I know that we've mentioned that before, but God's doing something really special. Last year, corporate America donated over $400 million worth of product, not cash, the thing they manufacture that will help us make a difference in the lives of people like Joseph. And your one day's wage puts the diesel in the truck, puts the cargo container on a freighter to get those supplies to those children. But one day, we'll be packing meals on every continent to save that shipping cost. And it'll increase the productivity and the efficiency. I want you to know just a few numbers, but I wanted you to see Joseph's story first. Because it's easy to get lost in the numbers, right? There are 1.8 million charities operating in the United States right now. And every year, Forbes Foundation rates of that 1.8 million, the top 100. Last year, Convoy of Hope was ranked 34th. And I'm happy to tell you, yeah, that's great. Out of 1.8 million. I'm happy to tell you this year, Forbes Foundation ranked Convoy of Hope number 27. So that's okay. 61,000 women and girls were trained last year. 47,000 women launched businesses. And the University of London did a longitudinal study over 5 years and found that our ladies who went through the program had a 98% success rate. Many of them tripled their income. That makes a difference because of a little girl I heard about this week who went to school and received part of her lunch, a hard-boiled egg. And the teacher noticed she looked confused. And she asked the little girl a little bit more. She said, I've never eaten an entire egg. I always share it four ways with my three younger siblings. What do I do? These are the kind of folks that you're helping to come to know Jesus and to have a better future. You see, we're helping feed Tracy's son, Joseph, but we're not going to be feeding her grandchildren because you're helping train them to have a different life. One more story I'll share just as a representation. But one of the countries we're in, there's a 3,000% inflation. That egg that that little girl got would have taken 3 days to earn the equivalent to buy an egg. The meal you're going to have this morning would take an entire month of working every day to pay for the equivalent of what we're going to share together as a meal. A meal means something way different in the cultures where you're helping us serve. And I just want to say thank you this morning for that. God bless you.
Thanks for sharing, Brian, and thank you for your leadership in our church, too. I'm so grateful for him. You can just feel the spiritual authority when he speaks, right? Like, that's why I buy him coffee, and I say, please come and spend time with me. I need a pastor in my life, and Brian is my pastor. And we met for coffee. You're going to see me messing around with this. I have in my notes, check the pot a couple times. Because I'm really genuinely concerned that I'm gonna ruin this and ruin some electronics in the process. So you're just gonna see me check that every now and then. A few weeks ago, Brian and I had coffee. We met for coffee to talk about this Sunday. And one of the phrases that kept coming up in my heart and in my mind as I read scriptures was that giving to the poor is one of the wisest things you can do. Giving to the poor is one of the wisest things you can do. Not only does Convoy of Hope have some of the best financial stewardship I've ever seen in any nonprofit, but biblically, giving to God and specifically giving to the hungry and the hurting is one of the wisest things that you can do. There's a book in your Bibles, almost about halfway through your Bibles, in the middle of it. It's called the Book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom with hundreds of phrases and hundreds of sayings to help you live a wise life. Right now in our world, there's endless amounts of knowledge and content that you can consume at almost a constant basis. But isn't it true that our world still lacks wisdom? Real wisdom. And so I want to read a few passages for you this morning. There's all kinds that I could use. I'm probably going to talk about 6 or 7 different ones this morning because I think you'll see a repetitive theme inside of these scriptures. And it's that living generously and caring for the poor isn't only a ministry of compassion, but it's one of the wisest things that you can do. Before we open the Bible, though, I think we're ready to begin to add the meal. This is one bag among many that we would send to our friends. And soon, we will share it together. So this is gonna go in. Dietitians have put this together with over 20 different vitamins and minerals. Each serving is 500 calories. Sometimes it's the only meal these kids would get all day. And it's because of your one day generosity that these get sent all over the world. And so we're just gonna let that boil. And again, remember, if it starts, there's not a lot of water in there. I was really careful. It's a tall pot. So if it starts to boil over, we're in trouble. Just wave your hands at me and just tell me like to shout, to stop and engage in the cooking process, not just the preaching process. Let's open the book of Proverbs together. Chapter 14, verses 21 and 31 is where we'll start. It says, it is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. And then 31, those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him. You can kind of see how the book of Proverbs is written in these short passages here. Remember, it's not a narrative. It's not telling a story of someone's life that you'll often see in scripture. This is a collection of phrases and wise sayings to help you live, help you to apply the nature and the characteristics of God to your own life. And here in chapter 14, you read pretty clearly that God blesses those who help the poor. Even more, he says, it honors their maker, your maker and their maker, when you help those in need. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of work our way through Proverbs because there's a bunch of them that I want to share. So just flip to chapter 19 now. Look at verse 17. This is one of the most interesting passages when it comes to giving to those in need in the book of Proverbs. Verse 17, it says, "If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord and he will repay you." If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord and he will repay you. This is a fascinating passage. Now, you'll notice it doesn't actually say in the scriptures what kind of interest God pays with. Like, I don't know how much he's paying you back when he pays you back. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, it doesn't even clarify what kind of blessing you're going to receive. And God has all kinds of things within his sovereign will that he could give to you. But it is really interesting because it clearly states that when you help those in need, you're lending to God, and he is a trustworthy, benevolent, and loving father. He will repay you. Now, originally, this would have been understood with God's covenant in mind, which is basically just a biblical word to say that God is going to uphold his end of the deal. He's going to uphold his side of the deal. God will bless you, it says in this passage. He'll repay you with anything that falls in line with his covenant. So it would be safety and protection. It would be peace in your land and peace in your home, peace where there might currently be anxiety. It means spiritual things will begin to grow in your life. And it also could mean provision. It's not excluding provision. It's just that that's not the only way that God will bless you. He can bless you any way that he chooses. And I think it is important for me to just be really, really clear and say to you that it's not like God owes you one. It's not like when you're having a bad day or you string a couple bad days together, you can kind of shake your fist at God and say, "I've been giving, now it's your turn to repay me." I mean, that's not how our relationship with the Lord works. You can't just expect him to move whenever you want him to move and demand that he repays you in the way that you want, with the immediacy that you want. I mean, remember, he has mysterious ways that he pours out his blessings into our life. Sometimes it's so easy to spot, but sometimes it's gonna take you time and you're gonna have to look back in retrospect and see, oh, this is what God has been doing this entire time. As I've been lending to him, he's been paying me back. Somehow, some way, the Lord will repay you. And again, this is the wisest investment that you can make. The wisest investment you can make is to give to the Lord, to give to those in need, and he will repay you. If we continue on in Proverbs chapter 21 now, you'll see even more passages, and these ones are a bit more direct. They even have a flavor of kind of a cautionary word for us. Proverbs 21 verses 13 and 26. Listen to these words of the Lord. "Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need." And verse 26, "Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give." As I read these passages, it dawns on me pretty quickly that our world makes it easy for us to shut our ears to the cries of the poor. It's quite easy. The world is doing all kinds of mental exercises so that your ears would be shut to the cries of the poor. But I just want you to know, as you probably already know if you've been a part of this church for any length of time, it's not going to happen at the Vineyard Church. It's not who we are, and it's not what we do. And I don't want to say this arrogantly. I think it's an honest reflection. I think we lead the way as a church. We give and we keep on giving. This is a generous church, and the reason it's a generous church is because it's filled with generous people. I mean, most churches, they would have something like a one-day Sunday, and maybe they would actually delay it till next year if they were in our circumstances. Because if you've been with us for the last couple of months, you know we're in the middle of a Love FOCO matching grant so that we can open up our own community resource center here locally, and we need to raise $100,000 to receive that matching grant. So a lot of churches would just punt the one day and say, "We'll just do it another time when it doesn't overlap." But this is something we do every fall. The last Sunday in September, leading into October, we do it every fall because we do want to give locally. And everything we give to Love Foco will 100% stay local and in our backyard. But we also, we want to be part of God's mission globally. And through our partners with Convoy of Hope, we get to join them and many others against the fight of global hunger, because this is also a huge problem, and we don't want to close our ears to the cries of the poor. We want them to be open and alert, and so we're generous. And verse 26, I hope you take great encouragement in verse 26. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. We love it. We love to give. Don't, of course we do. Of course we do, because the Lord has given to us so much. It's the smallest thing that we can do, actually, is give back to him and join him in this work. It's our pleasure and our joy to give back. I have a few more verses. Just go forward a couple more pages, a couple more chapters. Verse 27 now. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. Now again, this is a direct word. We like the blessing part, not so much the cursing part. I mean, at least that's me. Maybe you love the latter half of that verse, but I doubt it. We all love the blessing part. Of course we do. And it's a second verse in a row where the Lord is talking about using our senses to kind of explain and help us understand the kind of worldview that we need to have. This is the second verse where people are using their senses. The first one was they're shutting their ears, and now they're closing their eyes to ignore the pain, to ignore the struggle, almost willingly staying ignorant of the pain in the world and just living in their own little happy place. This is a warning to us as the people of God to not shut our ears, to not close our eyes, but to stay alert to the struggle of those around us. And of course, it's uncomfortable to bear witness to pain. It's uncomfortable to see real hunger in someone's life. It's uncomfortable to experience someone else's struggle and then realize that when all of this wraps up about 2 miles that way, we can all get into our cars and go and enjoy a brunch in a wonderful place called Old Town. And there's almost endless opportunities for us to shut our ears and close our eyes to the struggle of those around us. Our culture spends millions of dollars trying to dull your senses to the plight of the poor. But as Christians, we have to stay alert. We have to stay alert. One more passage, Proverbs 31, but I've got to check on this because I'm going to be very responsible. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. You know, just reading the book of Proverbs alone, let alone, I mean, all of Scripture, but you can see pretty quickly that following Jesus impacts every area of your life. Every area of your life. We bear witness to the struggle and the pain. We experience it ourselves, and then as an act of justice, we speak out. We use another sense. We use our voice. We share with others. We invite them into our own generosity and journey. We invite them into the very story of God as they can participate in various acts of generosity to fight against global hunger, to fight for justice. And it's because of your individual gifts that, yes, we are lending to God and we are opening our eyes and we are opening our ears. We're speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And together we are honoring our maker, their maker and our own maker. We're honoring our maker with everything that we have. It's who we've always been as a church. It's who you have always been. It's what I've witnessed over the years. It's who we are today. And may it continue to be true of us in the years and years and years ahead. You know, right now, because of our work with Convoy of Hope, the impact and influence that we're seeing all over the world is incredible. And it's not a story that we've written. It's a story that God has written, that Convoy's jumped in on, and we've just entered in with them. And as a church, you might not know this, but most of our work with Convoy of Hope happens in the country of Zimbabwe. There's a lot more information on that we can share. I noticed this morning on the calls wall, there's a variety of different statistics. There's even a picture of me with an old haircut that you can go and take a look at and have a good chuckle on. But it's because of your generosity and it's because of our collective giving that currently our church is feeding over 5,000 kids every single day in southwest Zimbabwe. We've trained over 200 farmers to grow crops for their community. We've trained over 200 women to start businesses so they can provide for their own families and even their own neighborhoods. We've planted a church, and that church is already planting another church. And the pastors we work with, Pastor Dixon and Chipo, they've even built a factory in their region producing this kind of food in their own factory so that we can buy the food they're producing from them so that they can feed the kids that are in the program and they can receive our finances. So we're increasing the economic stability of that region as well. It's impacting the entire community. You know, last week, Pastor Dixon sent me a video, and in this video, you'll see that they're already planting in another church. They're digging the foundation for the bricks to be laid. You'll hear his heart to preach the gospel in Zimbabwe, to make disciples, and to impact his country. And I just have to say, we have like a growing brotherhood, Pastor Dixon and I. We love each other. And we get to see each other because of technology more than our budget and our airplanes would allow us. But we go about every other year to spend time with him. And I'm so thankful that we're part of all of this kingdom activity. So this is just a short video that Pastor Dixon wanted to share with you this morning. Let's go ahead and watch that together.
Hey, Pastor Jeff and the Vineyard Church of Fort Collins. In Colorado. This is Dixon here from Zimbabwe, Africa. You know, your friend from some time. You know, ago. Hey, we are so excited about what God is doing here in Zimbabwe. Right now, I am in the eastern part of our country, southeastern part of our country, very close to the border of Mozambique, which is one of the countries that border us. And we have some churches here. Right now, it's about 9.6 degrees Celsius, Fahrenheit, actually. And it's very, very hot. And they're telling me it gets actually even hotter. And this is one of our visions, is to go according to what God, you know, Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 28, you know, from verse 19, 20, to go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, teaching them and really discipling them, you know, to really be strong believers. So this is what we're doing here. So I'm at one of the sites, and we actually building a church here. This is a 350-seater church that we are building for the community, you know, here. And I am so thrilled and so excited about what God is doing. We have about 35 churches across the whole country of Zimbabwe, which is a population of 16 million people. And the reason most of our churches are found in the villages is because 70% of the population lives there. And these are hard places. You can see it's very, very dry, and we don't have much water here. And so we have to sink wells, you know, for the people to be able to find water to drink, and water for their animals and their cattle, their donkeys and their goats and their sheep. And so we are so excited that we can be able to bring the gospel to hard places, and because I really believe this is where Jesus would be. And so we help the community to do gardens. We have a vegetable garden on the other side there. We work with communities to just really to get them to look after themselves. But we really believe that we can be able to use the cities to preach the gospel so that we can have many people believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, hey, thank you so much for being out here. We look forward to hosting you again sometime, and we maybe probably take you to these places for us to be able to enjoy our Lord Jesus together. Hey, we love you, and we thank God for all of you and for what you are doing in your part of this world. God bless you.
First time I met Pastor Dixon, I accidentally called him Pastor Nixon. He didn't understand the U.S. historical equivalent to that. So, but I fixed it. It's Pastor Dixon. We do get to go about every other year, and every time we go, it's just an amazing trip. We look forward to more trips in the future. But I want to show you a couple of pictures from our last time that we visited, just because it really was just an incredible time to go together. And if you just go to the next one, actually, there's another slide that I would love. Yeah, just like keep this one up here for a little while, because most of what we do when we connect with the churches and we feed the meals that you're all about to experience is we feed them through local churches or through schools, because that's where a large amount of people are already gathered. And I want you to pay attention to the line. Look how long the line is. Kids stood in that line for about 30 minutes waiting for a serving size of about 500 calories, the very food that I'm making right now. And soon, as we do in every time, every service that we gather, we'll have our time of quiet reflection and response. But specifically during our response time, we're going to invite you to stand in a line as well. And we'll have servers up front, and we'll invite you to come forward. And you're not going to get a full meal, but you're going to get a taste, because Convoy has sent us some of this food so that we could cook it here and serve it to you, give you a smell and a taste of what's happening all over the world. And again, these meals, they're high in calories. As you heard from Pastor Dixon, he's using the resources of the city to plant churches in the rural areas where it's harder to get food and water. And scientists and dietitians have reinforced these meals like with 20 vitamins and minerals, like I'd already mentioned. And sometimes it's the only meal these kids will get every day. And so it will be just a taste this morning, but my prayer is that it will connect you in a unique way to this mission, and it will inspire your generosity again and again and again. The last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about the historic and the global and the local church, and this should invite us into that awareness in a deeper kind of way. So may the Lord speak to you and to me and to all of us through this experience, helping us to know and open our ears and open our eyes and use our voice to speak up for the justice of the world, of the Lord around the world. Partnering with Convoy and this one day's wage might be the wisest thing that you can do this fall. So we want to create an opportunity for you to join God's mission of transforming all things. Let's pray together.